WICN in Worcester, this is the Venture Forum, Tales of Entrepreneurship from Central Massachusetts. I'm your host, Mark Reed Edwards, Executive Director of the Venture Forum. Now let's start today's tale. All right, on today's show, we're joined by Peter Martino. Peter helps small businesses define their vision, improve accountability, gain consistent traction, and become healthy, functional, and cohesive teams. Today, we'll learn what EOS, or the Entrepreneurial Operating System, which is what he uses to do that, is all about. Plus, we'll find out about Peter's career. Peter, it's good to have you on the Venture Forum.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Great to be here.
You know, we've talked in the past, and I'm fascinated by people's backgrounds. Can you share your background and your entrepreneurial journey?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. I've only ever worked for small family businesses. It's just in my blood. It's all I've ever known. My father owns a stained glass studio, of all things. It's a wonderful business, still active today, 45 years or so in business. And he started that business back in the 70s, or as my kids like to say, back in the 1900s, which is always funny to hear them say that. But yeah, he learned his trade in Italy, actually went to Italy after high school.
Wow.
To visit family, and planned on staying as long as he could, ended up staying 4 years. And the way he describes it is he wandered into a stained glass studio there in Milan looking for work. He wanted to earn some money so that he could stay longer, and ended up learning all the trade. Stayed for multiple years there working in that studio. Came back to the U.S. somewhat abruptly, broke his back in a car accident, but planned on going back, but met my mother, fell in love, got married. You know the story.
Yeah.
And started his studio here in the U.S. So by the time I was born, that studio was in the basement of our first family home. So it's all I've ever known. All I've ever known is business and family kind of mixed together. I learned a lot working in that business. Sometimes I was probably resentful to have to work in the family business, and other times I loved it. It was adventurous.
I mean, sure.
For the beautiful product that stained glass ends up becoming, it's a surprisingly rough and tough and dirty trade. There's a lot that goes into producing it. So we got some adventures of being able to go in some bell towers of some big churches, and I got to travel with him back to Italy a couple times to actually install some stained glass there. So it was just sort of that family business and the entrepreneurial ups and downs, good, bad, and ugly. But my real business success, I would say, came after that. I ran a remodeling company for a long time.
Yeah.
And I had the wonderful privilege of working with a great entrepreneur, visionary, and he was creating something very unique in the remodeling world. And so that's where I discovered that my gift, my passion, was really in taking vision down to the ground and putting process in place and execution in place, putting the nuts and bolts in place to make vision a reality. And we had a great run. I was there 15 years in total. 8 of those years I was running all day-to-day operations of that business. And we grew it pretty substantially. When I left, we were completing 600 remodeling projects a year.
So wow.
It's a high volume business and had a lot of fun. But I found that my true passion was in working on the business.
Yeah.
And so now I've made a career of that. I love helping entrepreneurial business leaders and their leadership teams get crystal clear on what they want to do in the business and take it down to the ground and make it a reality.
Yeah, I'm interested in drilling down just a little bit on stained glass.
Yeah.
Because I think that is a very exacting profession.
It is.
And do you take any of that? You know, you have to make the little pieces of glass the exact right shape. And sometimes most times, right, they're really odd shapes.
And correct.
You have to be really exacting in the way you cut the glass. Do you find that helps you as a business advisor, that, you know, you were imbued with this at such an early age?
Yeah, I think definitely that, but also the fact that it's glass and it's fragile. And so you can work for hours and days and weeks on a piece of stained glass, and one wrong move could cause you to take many steps backwards. You could break a panel, or you could break a specific piece in a panel. When you think about some of the big, more ornate stained glass windows and some of the faces that take hours and hours and hours to paint, to make them come to life. And one wrong move and that could break. So I think I certainly developed a care for making every little move count, making everything that we did in that business count. And we made tons of mistakes and, you know, learned from those mistakes. But I think what I took mostly from that family business was a passion to help people rise above the proverbial entrepreneurial struggle, right?
Yeah.
It's where working long hours, being the last person paid, sometimes not getting to take vacation, all of that. I just took this passion that there has to be and there can be a better reality to rise above that. So that's a lot of what I learned. I think I didn't know how much I learned until more recently when I started to work with so many other businesses that are experiencing the same things.
Yeah. It's just fascinating how a craft like mm-hmm. stained glass making can be a lesson for an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. for someone who goes into business. You know, you make something and you put your effort into it and your talent into it, and you install it, and it's there forever. Because mm-hmm. these stained glass installations go in cathedrals and places like that, you know, last, you know, millennia. So it's an interesting kind of thing to think about when you're in business. You know, you make something and it stays there forever.
Right. Yeah, your fingerprints are on something that lasts a long time in business or can. And I think that's what some entrepreneurs are very passionate about, the idea that you're creating something that has staying power. I know at different times in doing restorations in stained glass, we did some restorations that went back to the 1700s, I think even earlier. I think we did one restoration that went back to, we believe, the 1400s.
Wow.
And seeing the actual fingerprints, because when you're painting on glass, of course, there's times where you're gonna make some fingerprints and it's not noticed from a distance. But when you're up close and you're restoring a piece of art like that, you can actually see the fingerprints. And at times we would find where an artist would sketch their name in a really small font in the corner of a window where no one would see it unless you were right up on top of it. So I think there is some parallel there to business and the dreams that entrepreneurs have of creating a product or a service, something unique that will go out into the marketplace and make a lasting impact. I think there's definitely a parallel there.
Yeah. Before we get into EOS, I want to talk to you about Central Massachusetts. What makes Central Massachusetts special for you? Do you have a story to tell about that?
Well, I absolutely love it. I grew up here. I think there's just something about it, right? I think geographically, there's this city right in the middle of all six New England states, and it's almost like there's a road that leads in and through Worcester. And we've always been told, I think when we were real young, Worcester was kind of a scary place because we grew up outside of Worcester. And then once we in high school, we got to go to Worcester for sporting events and things. We realized it's not a scary place. It's actually pretty cool. And then I went to college in Worcester for a couple years at Assumption, now Assumption University.
Yeah.
And so I think there's just always been this buzz of this place can be something special, and it's going to be something special. And now we're seeing it over the past 15 years or so really become something special. But what I love about it personally is the fact that it's very rural. Central Mass is very rural, but then we have this city in the middle of it that has so much potential to be a business hub. And so me being an entrepreneur, sort of being in the entrepreneurial world, I get to combine my passion for helping business working in and around Worcester with also the desire, just the personal desire to live in a very beautiful place where we experience all four seasons, where we can get to the mountains north very easily. We can get to the ocean south and east relatively easily. So I just love the locale, and I love the people. I love the diversity of the people, especially in Worcester.
Yeah, it's a special place.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about EOS. You're a professional EOS implementer at mm-hmm. Align 360 Solutions. Can you tell me about what EOS is and the kinds of issues you help businesses resolve?
Yeah, EOS is about helping business leaders, specifically entrepreneurial small type businesses, helping the leaders become really just to get a better grip on their business, to mm-hmm. get more of what they want out of their business. And they have to define that. Sometimes more is to grow and scale the business. Sometimes more is to become more structured and to gain momentum in improving the business, whatever they desire for the business. And we do that by helping them get good at what we call three things: a vision, traction, and healthy. So vision is about getting the leaders 100% on the same page with where the business is going and how it's going to get there. Traction is about helping the leaders to become more disciplined and accountable so that they know exactly how to execute to achieve the business plan for the business. And then healthy is about helping the leaders become cohesive, high functioning, working together for the greater good of the organization, a leadership team, because quite frankly, leaders don't always work well together as a team. Sometimes they're running in their own lanes. And so to whatever extent we can do that at the leadership level, we can then migrate it down to every part of the company. So everywhere you look, you have a whole team that understands the vision of the organization. They're executing to achieve that plan. And they're healthy, they're vibrant, they feel like they're in the right place, they feel like they're in the right seat in the company to achieve that. So that's what EOS is all about. It's about a set of tools, simple, practical, applicable tools that make that a reality.
Is there a typical kind of company that you work with?
So most of our companies they're somewhat established. We don't always or often work with startups. We typically work with a company that has a little bit of a track record, but they've gotten stuck. You know, they've grown to a certain point and it's just they've hit a ceiling of sorts. And so that's typically who we work with, but they have to be growth oriented. They have to want to improve the business. They have to be more afraid of the status quo than they are of change. They have to be willing to make some hard decisions to move the business along. They really need to be open and honest and even vulnerable, get it all out on the table for the greater good of the company they're trying to build. So they just really have to have that mindset. And if they do, we find that assuming they have a product or service that works in the marketplace, that there's really nothing they can't accomplish that they want to.
I love that phrase you just said, more afraid of the status quo than of change.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, when you think about it, in anything in life, anything worth achieving, whether that's in your physical health or in a relationship or in a business, you have to be willing to let the past go and move forward and make some hard changes, sometimes some decisions that move you along, and you have to be willing to think that way, especially in business.
Yeah, I had a CEO who I worked with who always said change is inevitable and growth is optional.
Yeah, absolutely. And, true.
You know, you have to kind of take control of you know, your business life and your life in general, because change is going to happen whether or not you want it to.
That is right. We have experienced that this year more than ever for many of us in our lives.
Yeah. So I was looking at your website, and of course, I saw you present the EOS concepts recently. Mm-hmm. I'm interested in you sharing with our listeners the key components and maybe walk through how, you know, you start off with a company. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, of course. I think what we help companies understand is that they're dealing with 136 different issues at once. And the truth is those 136 different issues are probably rooted in a lack of strength in just one of six key components of business. So they're dealing with the symptoms. We're trying to get down to the root of those symptoms. And those are called the six key components. Every business has these components. The question is, how strong are they? So the first of those six key components is vision. Vision, as I said earlier, is about making sure you have a crystal clear, compelling vision for the organization and that your leaders are all unified in that. They know who you are as an organization, where you're going, and how you're going to get there. The second component is called people. You can have a wonderful vision, but if you're not surrounded with great people to execute on that vision, it's going to fall flat. So people is all about surrounding yourself with great people and making sure that they're all in the right seats in the company to achieve that vision. The third component is called data. Most entrepreneurial businesses are run on whims and feelings and emotions. And our encouragement to those businesses is you have to have your finger on the pulse of the business with some specific measurable data. And so we help them create different tools to make that data component strong. The fourth component is called issues. All businesses have issues, but most businesses aren't good at solving those issues. So creating this culture of identifying issues, digging down to the root, discussing them in an open and honest, healthy dialogue, and then putting action behind them, making decisions to solve them, set them up and knock them down for good. The fifth component is called process. Process is about doing the most important stuff for your business and doing it the right and best way every time. And then the last is the sixth component. It's called traction. It's one of our favorite words, but traction means bringing vision down to the ground and making it a reality. It's the component that improves discipline and accountability so that everyone's executing to achieve the business plan. So those are the six key components, and all those 136 different issues you might be dealing with are all rooted in one of those six key components. So getting down to the root of them and strengthening them is a methodology that works exceptionally well.
How do you work with a small business to bring them along those steps? For example, if an EOS implementer had come to your father and his business.
Yeah, so we have a process to implement all of the tools we teach, and it's been tried over and over and over again in many different iterations, and we now know the right process to implement the tools. The creator of our program started this work 20 years ago, and now we know that we've implemented the program with over 10,000 companies, and there's a bunch of companies using the tools across the world on their own, but so we feel like we have a pretty good grip on what the right process for implementing it is. And it starts with creating some foundational things, some foundational habits. So there's some tools that we teach early that create this foundation, because what a lot of organizations do is they want to think at the 30,000 foot view. They want to think about the big, hairy, audacious goal, as Jim Collins says, right? The big picture, fun ideas, but they don't want to put the foundational principles and habits in place to support that vision. So we start at the bottom. We start with creating a foundation, and that comes with developing a handful of different things. I don't want to get into a ton of detail just because it can be a little bit overwhelming, but creating a clear structure for the organization. What are all the seats in the company? Who needs to do what to make the business plan come to life? Making sure you have the right numbers to measure. So for your example, in a small business, a creative business, they still are hopefully pursuing some client engagements, right? They need something coming in the front door of the business to sell or to produce. So they need to know those numbers. How many people inquire about our services? What do we do with those? How do we convert those to interested people that are willing to pay for our services when we have those? How long does it take us to produce the product or the service, et cetera, et cetera? So there's all sorts of different numbers you can put in place to measure the health of the business. And so we go through that iterative process with our clients.
Well, we're not done yet, but thanks, Peter, for the first part. When we come back, we'll look to the future and see what Peter thinks is in store for 2021. Stay with us on the Venture Forum. Okay, we're back. Peter, this has been a great discussion so far. I've enjoyed learning about EOS and hearing your background. Now I'd like to turn our attention to the future. As you know, and I know, and most people listening out there know, small businesses are the backbone of our country. And as we mentioned, just as we were closing out, this past year was a challenge all around. What do you foresee will be the main challenges that small businesses face in 2021?
You know, it's funny. I think the main challenges businesses are going to face in 2021 are no different than the challenges that businesses have faced for decades. I just think people are more acutely aware of those challenges now than ever. And, you know, Warren Buffett has a quote when the tide goes out, we see who is swimming without shorts on.
Right.
And
he has a quote for every occasion.
I know. But it's so true. I think there are probably some businesses that were flying by the seat of their pants. And quite frankly, in a booming economy, you can kind of hide your dysfunctional business in that. And there's some businesses that maybe have come and gone or that will come and go that just don't have the passion, they don't have the people, or they don't have the product that the marketplace needs. And some of that natural pruning happens. But for businesses that are actually viable and that actually have a product or service that's needed and working in the marketplace, I think the challenges are still around the same things. It's about leadership, and it's about leadership coming together and working well together cohesively to create that clear, compelling vision and all being on the same page. It's about process, and it's about putting the right processes in place to execute on your business plan, to take your product and service out into the marketplace, to sell it, to get it produced and in the hands of your clients, and hopefully make those clients very happy, and to make sure you have good financial controls in place to make sure the business is financially viable at any time. So I think the challenges are the same. We're just more acutely aware of them. And I will tell you this, our clients are grateful and thankful that they had some structure in place to manage this past year. And it gave them the tools they need to actually, I think, thrive moving forward.
Yeah, I think that 2020 was a trying year all around, but it also was a great year for certain businesses that were prepared. Mm-hmm. Maybe it doesn't have much to do with the line of business you're in, but correct, the way in which you've prepared. If I think about the town I live in and some of the restaurants that immediately thought outside the box,
mm-hmm,
and set up tents. Obviously, that's challenging to do in the winter, in the colder months, but some of them immediately thought outside the box instead of saying, well, we're going to have to stay closed because we can only serve people inside.
Right.
If you think outside the box, you're going to be able to solve problems you didn't even know you had.
Right. Yeah, and for me, that's all about leadership. It's all about the leaders of those organizations being willing to take the punches and respond and to be vulnerable. I was telling my clients throughout the past year, vulnerability works. If you try to maintain this poise about you, like I have it all together and I know exactly what to do, people are going to sniff that out if it's not true. And by saying to your team, listen, this is the first time I've ever led a business through a pandemic. I need your help. I'm going to try my best to lead from the front. There's going to be ups and downs, but we can do this together. We have to think creatively. We have to think innovatively, but we can do this. To me, that works, and it has worked. So it's all about leadership. That's what I think wins in tough environments. And of course, great leadership wins in more steady and easy environments.
Because it's really easy to run a business when everything's booming.
Right.
And it's really easy to make mistakes and maybe not think through your decisions when everything is booming.
Mm-hmm.
But once you hit hard times, I mean, this is capitalism, right?
Right.
This is when we find out, who doesn't have swim shorts on, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's the beginning of the year. Do you set goals as an individual? Or are you someone who writes a list out? And if so, what are your personal goals for 2021?
Yeah, we do set goals as a family. My wife and I set goals. And certainly as a business, we have goals. For the business, I think this year is about, I think the theme for us is going to be quality over quantity. We have plenty of clients to sustain our business. We're very blessed with wonderful, wonderful clients. But more and more, I'm thinking about getting laser focused on helping the businesses that I get fired up about helping. I really can get passionate about certain businesses and certain leaders. When I see their passion come out, it gets me excited. So this year is going to be about that, I think, for us in the business. Personally, we set goals. I'm a little silly in this. I journal and I give myself a little gut check about once a week. I have five things that I check in on. I check in on my family, my my physical health, my spiritual health, my business health, and my community. So the people that I have influence on and people that are influencing me. So those five things, yeah. I do a little 1 to 10 check on. And so my goals are based around those things and making sure where I have influence, I'm upholding that and keeping that strong. So those are our goals.
Yeah. If anything, in 2020, during the pandemic, one of the, I think, great things that happened is that companies, large and small, realized that their employees are people and they have lives outside of work.
Yeah.
And setting up those boundaries has become more important than ever.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, a typical employee can be sitting on a Zoom call and have their laundry running at the same time. And it's not a big deal, right?
Right.
Whereas in the old days, and I've worked at many companies where you had to have your rear end in the seat in an office from, you know, 8 to 5, 9 to 6, you know, whatever the time was. But in 2020, I think a lot of big companies realized that there's more to employees than just the time that they spend in the office.
Absolutely. We have felt that personally. We've seen it with our friends and our clients and peers. I think striking and desiring a better balance, we were forced to it, I believe. But I think the outcome of that is very positive when we realize that life's short and you only have so many hours in a week. And if you have family and you have other passions or priorities, you can have a career and make those other priorities a priority as well. And that's something that I think has been lost in certain waves of our culture. There's been pushed aside, and I hope that we continue to move to a healthy place where we can balance that.
So where can people go on the web to learn more about you and EOS?
Yeah, I mean, my website is probably the best place to get a high overview. My website's align360solutions.com, and they can always reach out to me directly. We do, one of the first things we do for interested companies or interested entrepreneurial leaders is we do our first 90-minute session for free, and it's an overview of EOS and helps us get to know them. So happy to set those up for anyone who's interested.
Well, that's great, Peter. Thanks so much for joining me on the Venture Forum.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. It was a lot of fun.
I'm Mark Reed Edwards. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Venture Forum from WICN in Worcester. Learn more at theventureforum.org and join us next week as we share tales of entrepreneurship from Central Massachusetts.